Heavenly Father, I come to your presence once again by the blood of Jesus, confessing my sins. Lord God, I look to you for mercy, Lord. Lord God, to be faithful as you go to share your word. Lord God, these are not words of men, but the words of a living God. Help us, Lord, as you approach this service today, I approach you with reverence and awe. That, Lord, you grant me great grace, fresh unction and mercy to be faithful, Lord, to minister as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. To do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives. I also pray, Lord, to cause our wills to become more humble. Let our minds be enlightened to the revelation knowledge of your word that goes forth. And our emotions, Father, controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that yours goes forth. Let it go forth in power. Let it break yokes. Let it meet need. In particular, let us be a people prepared, Lord, for your imminent glory at this time. Help you to be concise and precise, not to say things unnecessary. I give you praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your what you do in our midst this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The title of my message this evening is Serving God Acceptably with Reverence and Godly Fear. Serving God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You see, this is something that is missing in most places in the church. And where we have it, it's yet to get to the full measure that God wants it to be. So I believe this is what God will have me to share this evening. So let's open our Bibles, the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and read from verse 25, which is really what is going on now. Please, can you play something in the background so I can flow and don't rush through the message? Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, we read from verse 25. The Apostle Paul was talking, if you read from the beginning, he was talking about laying aside weights and sins that so easily besets us, and we run the race that is set before us. Towards the end of this chapter, where I will now read, he began to talk about God speaking to people. And then he begins to talk about a particular set of people that God was talking to at this time, the Zion church, so to speak. So I'll read from verse 25 and you follow him. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. As again, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removal of all those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You see, we all know from the present situation in the world that things have been shaken. There is a shaking going on. And we see clearly where God is allowing the shaking to come. He wants those things that are made. What I mean is man-made ideas. Things we are doing that God does not approve of, but he has winked at. The Bible says in times of ignorance, God winked. But see, in this end time, God is running up the program with his church. So he's not going to wink at those things again. Just comes to my heart in the flash, I mentioned it. Was like when David was trying to bring back the glory of God, the ark. I see God kept quiet. Why? Because David knew more than that. But you see, when they got to Nacon's threshing floor, what happened? The oxen stumbled. And Uzziah tried to hold the ark, and then we know what happened. And then he wrote someone in Chronicles who said, because we did not seek God after due order. So God is trying to shake off a lot of things that we've been doing, both in the church and in the world. Why? As I continue to read, say, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake the earth. I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are what? Shaken. As of those things that are made. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, now begins to tell us a thing that cannot be shaken, which is clear from the next verse. It says that, wherefore, we receiving what? A kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken. Let us have what? Grace, say grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. Fear. He now puts the reason in the last verse. Say, for our God is what? A consuming fire. God wants to give his church, the Zion church, not everybody will receive it, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you have entered a season of shaking in the body of Christ, some days ago I was just meditating and this thought came to me. You see, is similar to the threshing floor where God begins to remove the chaff from the wheat. And this thought came to me that we have also moved from the threshing floor to the God's wine press. You see, I don't mention that I'm moving on, right? Because of God. You see, the feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, they are different in Israel. They use different ways to harvest, and then what's the different seasons of crops that come. So, you know, at Passover, you have barley harvest, Pentecost, you have the wheat harvest. But you see, in Tabernacles, it is the fruit, the gathering of the fruits, which is usually grapes and all that. And the way they process them is different from the way they process barley and wheat. They take them to the wine press. Why? They press it. That's why you can feel the pressure. So that what is inside can come out. The king once again is thirsty for wine. Praise the Lord. So say, therefore, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. What that means is this. It means two things. If you don't serve God, if you don't have grace to serve God acceptably with reverence, if reverence is not there and there isn't sufficient godly fire, are you following me? You may not be able to stand the fire that is coming. We all know that the glory of God is returned to his temple. It's supposed to be a blessing. But you see, that same blessing, if we don't behave ourselves properly as we ought to, it can be a consuming fire. It will not be a consuming fire to us in Jesus' name. So you see, how do we serve God? Romans chapter 1 verse 9, you can put it there. But Paul said, I thank my God, let's together, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I do what? I make mention of you always in my prayers. So primarily as Christians, we serve God with our spirit in the place of prayer. In the Old Testament, they used to offer up sacrifices, animals. But in the New Testament, we serve God with our spirits. You know, when you pray, you release the power. Have I, Paul says something. He said, I have labored more than they, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So we need the grace of God to be able to serve God acceptably. We also need to add reverence and godly fear. That thing is missing in the church today. And we need to get our acts together before the glory returns. That's one of the reasons for this message. Are you with me? We need to serve him with grace and godly fear. Because you see, in the book of Hebrews that we just read, he was not talking to everybody. He said, you are come unto where? Mount Zion. So it is you are come unto Israel or whatever, using, you know, Mount Zion as a perfect church, the church that is on the way to perfection, to becoming conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where the glory is coming to. And when he appears in his glory, I follow me. The Bible says something called Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14. If you find you can put it, Isaiah 33, 14. You'll be surprised. It says that the sinners in Zion are afraid. You see, by the time this glory manifests, it's supposed to be a blessing. Are you with me? But see, if we don't get our acts together, as you see, as I continue, if we keep on taking God for granted, you know, doing the things of God the way we like Saul, he's a Saul spirit. That's what the guy said. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness at what surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Next verse. He that walketh righteously. You see, there's no need to be afraid of a fire and all this. You already put the conditions there. Say, he that walketh righteously, that speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Next verse. All this is talking about perfecting the love of God, the character of God. So he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread, Lord, shall be given unto him, and his water shall be sure. It's not physical bread he's talking about. He's talking about the word of God. Next verse. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is far off. That is the land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. But there's no need to be afraid. Are you with me? So, Paul has already told us the things that we need that we may serve God acceptably. Which means if we don't have these things, our service of God will not be acceptable. But our service will be acceptable in Jesus' name. So he mentions grace. He mentions reverence. And he mentions godly fear. Let's say to that, grace, reverence, and godly fear. Praise the Lord. So how do we get these things as we continue? I already mentioned that God is coming back to his church as a consuming fire. He wants to fill the church with glory. Everybody's excited, you know, the things that God is going to do and all this. But we need to prepare. You see, we can't just sit down, and just wait for him to come. We need to ask ourselves this question. Why hasn't he come all these days? Why is God delaying? God is deliberately delaying so that he can get his people ready. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So that is why in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our pattern, he says something. He said that it shall be of quick understanding in the fear of God. Are we there? Let's read from verse 1. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots. Next verse. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom. Let's look at wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge. And of what? The fear of the Lord. And of what? The fear of the Lord. Next verse. And shall make him of what? Quick understanding. That is what God wants to do before the glory comes. And shall make him of what? Quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. God wants us to be, not just us, the body of Christ, to be of quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. Because as we go on, you see that this fear of the Lord we are talking about, the reverence of God, has a lot to do with many things in our lives. And one of the things that we in the body of Christ we have taken for granted. You know, many times Yoruba say, Ari Olorun. You will see as we continue. But God wants to help us. Praise the Lord. So we look at life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our pattern. When I began to look at Lord Jesus Christ recently, over the past few months, past few weeks, when I pray, I read my Bible, I begin to look at his life. For some days ago, I was reading my Bible. I went to the book of Numbers. It says that these works that he did shall we do are greater. I began to God. I sat down up till I went to bed. I was thinking about it. God, how can these things be? I believe it by faith. But I also know that if God has said it, he will do it. But you see, also there must be a preparation to carry that same glory. It's not just going to come like rapture is like that. Praise the Lord. So let's look at our pattern. Lord just like Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. What does it say? We know the scripture. Let's look at that. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and what? Supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he prayed. No. And he was heard in that he fasted. No. That is the key to answer prayer. You see, if you have been praying, obeying these principles, and you're not getting the desired result, either in its full measure, step up your fear of the Lord. He said he was heard in that he fasted. You see, we can obey the principles. But if your attitude is not right, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, insufficient measure, because you are growing the fear of the Lord, you will not get the desired answers like the master had. He said, I was heard in that he feared. The next verse is very critical. He said that though he were a son, what that means is that he did not take God the Father for granted, even though he were a son. These are some of the things that we have. These are some little attitudes that creep into our hearts. You feel that, okay, I'm so and so. You don't approach God based on anything. You come by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then there must be this attitude of reverence. You must hallow God in your heart. Somewhere in Hebrews chapter 5, I think it's verse 5, talking about Lord Jesus Christ. He said that after he had done everything, he said, no man, talking about becoming an high priest, he said, no man take this honor upon himself except him. Oh, yeah, yes, that's it. He said, I said, and no man take the honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. This is after the resurrection. After he resurrected, they had done everything. He knew he had passed his exams. He says to JJ. Next verse. Says, so also. Christ glorified not himself to be made high priest. Who else will have been high priest? After he had sacrificed, God had risen from the dead. He had no sense of entitlement. He stood to JJ. I said, but he that said unto him, thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. How many of us would have done this kind of thing? If I, before they say, sit down at my right hand, you have seated and across your legs. These are the things we need to begin to watch in our attitudes. We need to correct our attitude. Said, if they invite you to a place, don't sit in front. Go to the back. Our Lord Jesus has the epitome of humility. He never took anything for granted. You see, I was telling somebody someday, I think I shared it here. If he had made a mistake, he understood that if he made a mistake and sinned, the Father will not spare him more. You see, many of us, we do understand this. So we always say, well, maybe they'll be around. No. If he had sinned once, that would have been the end. He understood. He understood the certainty of God's judgment and the security of his mercy. So he didn't take anything for granted. That's why he woke up a great while before dawn and prayed. Even when he was tired, he would pray. He did not take it for granted. He said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He didn't suffer sickness. He suffered self-denial daily. In the Amplified Bible, in book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, what does it say? He said that he was hurt because of his reverence toward God. Can you put the Amplified? Let's together. Who in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up deafening prayers, petitions, blah, blah, blah. I want to get to this here where it says, and he was hurt because of his what? Reverence toward God, his godly fear, his piety, in that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. He understood the constitution of a kingdom, that God is no respecter of himself, including himself. So he knew that if he took it easy, like David, and made a mistake, that would be the end. He would just go and join the first Adam in hell. I don't know what God would have done. But thanks be to God. That's why the Bible said, the book of Revelation, he said, who is worthy to open the book? John said he wept. And Lord said, don't worry, don't weep. Praise the Lord. We need to honor the Lord. That's why we need to reverence him. Praise the Lord. So that is what I want us to see. So what is grace? Pastor has taught us many times. Grace is God's unmerited favor that allows him to give life to our spirits through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's Christians that can receive grace. A measure of life comes to us through the grace of God. It allows God to give us a measure of grace, a measure of life. That's what grace is. You know, it's God's compassionate disposition. That means to give us a measure of the life of God in our spirits. Are you with me? And then mercy comes from outside. So we need that grace. And the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. So any attitude of irreverence is an attitude of pride, really, intrinsically. That's the root cause of irreverent attitudes in the presence of God. And then you see, that grace that we need to serve God like this. So we're talking about serving God in the place of prayer with our spirits. You see, that's why Paul can say, I thank my God. First Corinthians 15 verse 10. He said, I've labored more than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was me. How did he labor? He said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. That means the guy was so humble and he kept on receiving more and more grace. So for us to serve God, Lord, acceptably, we need increase in the measures of grace we receive daily. James says he giveth more grace. You can have more grace. You can have more grace. And the way you can get more grace to increase in humility. Praise the Lord. And the second one here is reverence. I put it there. I say it's an attitude of respect. Say respect. Or treating with great respect the things of God. You see, that thing is missing in the church today. As I go, as God gives me examples, I'll mention many things that we do that grieve the person of the Holy Spirit. Like sending messages when the service is going on. We need to correct ourselves, including that I'm talking. These are irreverent attitudes. The easiest way you can know is this. We see from Malachi. Malachi started talking to the people of Israel. He said, look, these things you are offering, he said, go and give it to your governor. That is what you cannot do in front of a natural leader. Then what are you doing in front of God? So he was using different animals. He said, you bring a one-eyed goat, come and give God. He said, why are you going to go and give to your governor? It's like, if governor is coming or somebody that is very important is coming, everywhere will be clean, everybody will be quiet, no noise, nothing. Yes, but if the things of God, you find people treated with levity. People will make noise, people will be chatting while the message is going on. All that will stop. All that will stop. But see, God is telling us something. So we can get that answer. He wants to make us a quick understanding of the fear of God. So by the time it comes, everybody is ready. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bible to the book of Psalm 89, verses 6 and 7. Let's read. What does it say? Psalm 89, verse 6 and 7. Say, for who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? The next verse is what I want us to focus on. Next verse. Verse 8, please. Verse 8. Okay, so it's there. Sorry. No, sorry. Take it back. I'm sorry. Okay, let's see. God is greatly to be, not just feared, though, greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Great respect. See, the fact that God humbles himself to behold the things that happen among us. That, Lord, like Abraham, it comes down to Abraham in the cool of the day, starts talking to you. Or maybe you are praying and then God whispers and says something to you, you know, say, ah, God spoke to me. You don't know who spoke to you. That same attitude is what we should carry to our daily Bible reading. Because the same God that is talking to you. If you know how God is, go and read the book of Isaiah. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 downward, talking about God. How mighty he is, how big God is. So he said, would you have reverence? Praise the Lord. Let's continue. And then godly fear. Pastor has taught us. Godly fear is certainty of his chastening, judgment and chastening when we disobey. And the security of his mercy when we obey. We need to know it. Mommy has been praying from a scripture recently when anytime we gathered to read from the book of Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. When Moses was saying, Lord, show me your glory, show me glory. Instead of God showing his glory, first of all, proclaimed his name. He said, I'm Lord God, merciful and gracious. You know, and he began to say that we by no means clear the guilty. You see, at the back of our minds, we always, when you see wicked people, you know, escape, you say, maybe God is not really that serious. No, pros. When he comes down, and he's surely going to come back, are you following me? All those things will be cleaned out. That's what happened in the Bible. When he came the first time, you know, and Moses said, when the people, when he came into their midst, God's desire is to dwell amongst them. When they sinned, a lot of them started just falling down. You know what he did? Moses carried the tabernacle and took it outside the camp. So he said that whoever wants to see this God, come and see him. It's not, look, at the same time, it's not that God is a bad person. But he's a good person. But you see, there is something in man called sin. But you see, it is not the sin that is now the problem. God has given us a way of escape to clean out that sin so that we can approach his presence. Are you with me? So it's like someone has malaria and I give him drugs to take and he refuses to take it. Then he's going to suffer the consequences. Are you with me? So if God has not made a way of escape now, we say, okay, maybe God is not good. But he has made a way of escape for us. The things we need to do so we can approach his presence. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important for us to know that as I continue. So this attitude of reverence and godly fear, I said, is missing his church. Let's see from the book of Malachi chapter 1. When Malachi began to talk, put it in Amplified Bible, Malachi 1:11, we read. And we cannot apply it to our lives and our circumstances. Because this is an attitude. No, reverence is attitude. So, are we there? Say, for from the rising of the sun, this is God talking, to his setting, my name shall be what? Great among the nations. And in every place, incense shall be offered up to my name. That's prayer. And indeed a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, said the Lord of hosts. Next verse. Say, but you priests. All of us are priests. So it's not only pastors that are priests. We are all kings and priests in Christ Jesus. But you priests, profane it. When by your word, I say actions. You say the table of the Lord is what? Polluted. And the fruit of it, its food is what? Contemptible and may be despised. Folks, we are coming to a place whereby in the body of Christ, you count it a great privilege to serve God. Now you beg people to come and pray. Now you beg this one to come and play instrument. You know, they will not come. There's a scripture in, I'll get there, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy 28. He said, because you have not served God with joy, he said, you are going to serve your enemies. Now people despise the service of the house of God. If you don't put a price there, people will not do it. We won't put money there. They won't do it. Come and pray. They won't come. You know what God told Eli when he misbehaved? He told him, he said, you, your generation, he said, they are going to come and be begging for bread. When he removed him, he's in the Bible, in for someone. He said, because they despise the things of God. And God told him, God was very angry. He said, look here, look here, look here. He said, is it only your father's house that was there when I called you? And you saw your children misbehaving and you did not correct them? He said, all on top of him. So you can understand. You know what he did? God said, these guys, God comment. I said, even the very king in your family, they come to beg for bread. But you can't service in the house of God. Serving God in every category you bind yourself, a privilege. Who else do you want to serve? If you had a choice to take a job, a secular job, or to serve God, we should pick God first. Because the very life, the very energy that you're using to do that secular job is from God. These are the attitudes we need in this end time to close this age. These are the attitudes we need in this end time to download the glory. These are the things I will cut in this end time. Praise the Lord. So as I mentioned Deuteronomy 20. Okay, let's just Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. We need to serve God with joy. When you are going to pray, we need to serve God. Don't say, oh God. He said this, he said despise the Lord. He said, oh God, you shall my prayer loud about, oh God. Oh. You know, we don't say it, but you know, it shows in the way we do things. You are praying in the spirit, you are chewing gum. We are not sure the one you are doing. You are reading your Bible. As you are reading your Bible, you are sending text messages. You are doing all that. I say, go and give it to your governor. How many will stand to deliver a town paper, your lecturer or whoever? You are standing in front of people. And then you'll be doing one thing and the other. Where do you know you are filled? But how come we do with the things of the spirit? God will have mercy on us, sir. You know what he said? He said, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Next verse. Therefore shall thou serve thy enemies. We will not serve our enemies. Oh. It's not just enemies there. The enemies there could be the carnal mind. You'll be in bondage to carnal mind. We will not serve our enemies. So, this is what am I saying? I'm saying that the things of the Spirit, the things of God, let's take it. Let's take it. Let's attend to the things of God far 100 times better than the things we do in the world. Than a secular job. You know, nobody will want to travel early in the morning. I will get late to the airport. You have calculated that if there's hold up, I will pass through this place. I will pass through this place. Even you, some people not even go to bed. They won't sleep. Their eyes wide open like this because they don't want to miss their flight. If you don't want to miss the first flight, better start getting ready. So, I will give some examples, both bad and good. Bible talks about the goodness and the severity of God. We look at Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10. You see, these were the sons of Aaron. They knew. You see, it's a privilege to be called to come and serve God. It is, oh. I'm telling, I see more and more. When I wake up nowadays in the mornings to pray, even though I'm tired, I drag myself to go and pray. And I say, Lord, please help me. It's better. I look at my life in times past. How God saved me. So this same God has kept me up till now. I will now begin to drag my feet and say, oh, how am I going to pray again today? You know, something happened recently. I woke up, by the grace of God, I'm waking up. Over a year now. 4 a.m. doesn't meet me on my bed. For over a year. 4 a.m. Not possible. To the glory of God. But you see, there is a problem. Each time I wake up in the morning like that, it's not as if everything is fine. I'm jumping up. Hallelujah. No. I would drag my brother. Ah, God. Ah, there's someone in the back of my... one day recently, about a week ago, I said, God, ah... when am I going to really like this thing? Like, you know, get up, like, really be jumping up and down. I'm going to pray. Like they talk about Wiggles words. Then my Wiggles wakes up. He will get up and say, hallelujah, Satan is in trouble. Something like that. I said, but I was talking in my heart. I said, Lord, because now that things are not that rosy, it's still easy for me. What about if something happens and everything just changes? You know, paradigm, everything. You know, trajectory changes, money comes and all that. Will I still be able to be getting... Wouldn't I say, see, 4 is necessary by King Gini, 5 o'clock. I was honest. I was talking to him. So Lord, if I'm struggling now when I don't have anything, so to speak, I'm praying, I'm getting up. Now I'm getting up. But it's like the joy, I'm not really, you know, fervor. So God spoke to me. You see, there's something about the kingdom of God. If we don't know the spiritual technology, you keep on making the same mistake. You know what God told me? He said, he just whispered to me. God is very nice. He said, just set your will. He said, when you get up, set your will. He said, even it is better if you can set it before you go to bed. As I woke up, I was going to go and start my prayers. Then he said, he kept come talking to me. He now gave me scripture. He said from Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good land. So you have to first of all be willing. I am getting up. And then obedience will come. You will learn obedience by the things which you suffered. Then you can enjoy the good of a land, which is love, walking, love, joy, peace. I said, wow. Since that day, before I go to bed or when I wake up, I set my will. I set my will to wake up at so and so time, and I pray in tongues for a few minutes. I go to bed. It's not as if I see, but the pressure, the flesh, it has reduced drastically. That's wisdom. If you are willing and obedient there is not just general obedience. We are talking about prayer now. said he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, which is serving him. So you must first of all set your will to do that thing. No, Pastor, I've not said anything. Pastor has taught us before we pray every day, he will say you must set your will. But God just took that same principle and applied it to praying. You can apply that same principle everything you do. So instead of falling all the time, you want to pray, you fall as you set your will and pray. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. We're talking about Nadab and Abihu. So you see, in Leviticus chapter 10, put it there before this time. In Leviticus chapter 9, what happened? God told them what to do for the glory to come, which is what we are doing now. Please put it in Leviticus chapter 10. God told them what to do. God called Moses and Aaron. He said, get this for a burnt offering for yourself and for your children. He told them, Moses, I got it for the people. And then they offered the burnt offering and the peace offering, which is what we are doing now. Presenting our boys the living sacrifice. So at the last verse of that previous verse, the glory of God came down. Everybody, oh, they worship God. The next chapter, verse 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, brethren, God is no respecter of persons. God saw those children when they took those things and he did not stop them because they knew better. So, and they took what? Either of them, their censer, and put fire thereon, and put incense thereon, and offer strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Next verse. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Because our God is a consuming fire. The glory of Leviticus chapter 9 was supposed to be a blessing. But look at chapter 10. God did to his people. Next verse. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron with the word, had this peace. We are coming to a place in the body of Christ that when things, I'm not saying bad things will happen. But see, things happen in the old world, you know, and the service will continue. And as some of you fall dead in the service, and they continued. That's a bad example. Paul raises the dead, and the service continued. They didn't stop the service and take up an offering. They didn't camp around it. Next verse. And Moses called Michel and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come now. Carry your brethren from before the sanctuary. Next verse. So they went there and carried them in their coats and Baba and as Moses said. You see, if you keep on reading in this same verse, I don't have time to, God now began to tell them and said, when you come there, he said, don't drink wine. Go. I'm not sure. Go down. Verse 6. Go to verse 6. Please just move down. Itamar, the son, uncover your head. No, move down, please. Next verse. It's somewhere. It's the same chapter. See. He said, do not drink wine, nor drink strong, nor strong drink. Thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a status forever. What are we saying? It may not be natural wine, but don't drink the wine of Babylon when the glory comes down, like Pastor was saying. He said, when you are going to the house of the Lord, he said, you keep your walk. Someone in Ecclesiastes. Praise the Lord. The other example is Moses himself. Numbers 20, 12. Put it in the Message Bible. You see, you must not get too familiar with him. Even though he's love and he's kind. We know the story. God told Moses to speak to the rock. He smote the rock. And it cost him what? His destiny. Message Bible. What does this message say? God said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me, didn't treat me with holy reverence in front of the people of Israel, you too are going to lead the company to the land that I'm giving them. Finished. End of story. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. The other one, last example, I mentioned Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to talk about because of, we all know the scriptures. But what I want to mention is Miriam and Aaron. I want to bring in the aspect of not just fearing God, but having fear for those that speak to God face to face. You know why? Because the book of Psalms 15, it says, those that honor them that fear the Lord. And so our attitude is good have reverence to, but also there must be reverence and honor to those that fear the Lord. So at this time, Aaron and Miriam, they took Moses for granted. That is our junior brother. They spoke to him. And God now said, God said, come. The Bible says, God came down suddenly. Open to Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. These are the suddenness we are expecting. Okay, see, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Next verse. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam. Come out. You three unto the tabernacle of congregation. And the three came out. I will just say what he said. God said, when I speak to you people, I talk to you loudly. You know, you have a dream, you know, when you see a cockroach flying around, and then you have to get someone to interpret it. That's what he was trying to say. You see, you know, you use somebody and say, okay, what is the Eba me, no, you buy me Eba me, raw lie. Then they will tell you, okay, maybe you drank, you know, just. But my servant Moses, not so. So I speak to him face to face. And you are not afraid. So that is because you are getting some revelation. You begin to preach. They begin to give some little assignments. And begin to feel puffed up like Satan. You are saying, I will exalt my throne above so and so. Sir, you are not afraid. Ah! God did not say anything. He just turned back. That was the end for Miriam. God just turned back. What are we saying? In our hearts, we need to, I already quoted it in Psalm 15, verse 4. It said, them that honor, them that fear the Lord. Who are those that fear the Lord? Somebody that begins to speak to God face to face. That is, God is like, pastor will talk about Kentucky. God will talk like a friend for 1 hour. You know why? It is those that speak to God face to face shall be the first people to receive the coming glory. Because it was Moses as he spoke to God face to face that his face shone. Are you with me? So we need to be very, very careful. Praise the Lord. So, I put it here in passing. Acceptable service must come by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's very important for us to know that. Are you with me? That's why God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's sacrifice. Do you know why I begin to see this thing? It's connecting to me. You know why all those things that pastor has taught us are very important? You see, if you confess your sins frequently, Satan will not have any landing site. Are you with me? I'm going to tie it together by the grace of God, concerning the mercy of God, the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, all these. They are not calling device tables. They are principles that you operate that will get you. Jesus Christ lived by principles which keep you in the love of God. So it's not, okay, I've confessed my sins. No. You are cleaning frequently so that when the enemy comes, you have nothing in you, because that's the only way you can be righteous before God. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says that let us therefore have, he said, let us enter into the holiest, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, let us enter into the holiest of all. You can't enter by any other way. So, why is this message very important? Point number one, it determines the measure of the mercy and the grace of God, and the help of the Holy Spirit that we receive in times of need or temptation, and also it guarantees that we receive answers to prayers always. You see, this attitude of reverence and godly fear, like we read in Lord Jesus Christ, who is our pattern, he said it was hardened that he feared. He said, though he were his son. So this attitude of reverence and fear determines the measure of mercy and grace and the help that you receive in times of temptation. So when you face a difficult temptation, you are praying and the answer does not come, or you don't get it, or you fall in that temptation, then go back and check your attitude. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Talking about Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of an infirmity, but was in all points, no, he's talking about temptation, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So, what he's trying to say is this, because you have him as your high priest, no temptation should overcome you. That is what he's trying to say. Next verse. That is, he was tempted. Now, he said, let us therefore, why? Because of him, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. And grace to help in time of need. But you know, this thing comes, they come in measures. He told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. This temptation is no big deal. Humble yourself, you get more grace and defeat the thing. So it determines the amount of mercy and grace and the help you receive. And that's why in John chapter 11, verse 41, Jesus Christ says, I thank my God because you hear me always. Why? It was hardened that you feared. when he was standing at Lazarus' tomb. Let's read it. John chapter 11, verse 41. Always put at the back of me. John chapter 11, verse 41. Put at the back of me. He said, I thank you. I said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Next verse. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of these people which stand by, I have said this, that they didn't believe. Why did God hear him always? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It was holding that he feared. These are things we need to put in place in our lives. There's a scripture that just flashed in my mind. Book of they say if the something be blunt, you have to be putting more unnecessary effort. But if it's sharp, pew, pew. Second point is that God wants to fill his temple with glory, like he did with the temple of Solomon. We all know that story. And then you can see examples. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can see example of Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says that when he healed people, virtue went out. He healed all of them. All. Same thing with Peter. I'm quoting Peter. I'm mentioning Peter and Paul. They were not perfect. But they were practicing these principles of the fear of God. You will see them. Paul, he will be going somewhere. He wasn't ashamed to kneel down. Where? At the seashore. Some of us, it's difficult to kneel down to pray. Oh, my dress will get dirty. Paul was not ashamed when he was going to whatever. When they gathered, you know, they would just, there was a day that God spoke to me, said, he would tell me, well, kneel down. So some of those things say, okay, well, maybe God can answer my prayer. That's why you should sit down and cross your leg and be groaning. Arifin. So, but what I'm saying, Peter wasn't perfect, yet his shadow healed people. Paul was not perfect. They took aprons from him. But see, one of the reasons why these things occurred, apart from the fact that they had a board and the Lord just came, because they had a reverential fear of God. The third point I have here is this. God wants to honor and to make a distinction between those that fear and serve him and those that do not. John chapter 12, verse 26. Let's read that verse. John 12, 26. What does it say? If any man serve me, of course, we now know how to serve God, primarily in the place of prayer with your spirit. If any man serve me, let him what? Follow me, imitate me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So God wants to honor those that serve him. He wants to make a distinction between them. And I put it in my notes. Say, currently, the stones are being cut without hand to become precious jewels. That is where we are now. God wants to honor them. So you see, he's already cut some stones, like Pastor preached on Sunday, and they're taking the stones to the temple site. Some are being cut. That is, they are chipping off all the unnecessary things. You know, the weights and the sins. That's why we started with the cutting them off. With reverent attitude, cutting them off. You see, what I'm telling you today, as I was preparing, God told me, he said, look, teach people the fear of God. Teach your children to fear God. I'll read this in the book of Psalms. You can teach people to fear God. So you don't come to church and misbehave. You have to teach them. Because if you don't teach them, Eli did not teach his children and see what happened to them. Aaron did not teach his children to behave in the presence of God. See what? God didn't spare him. You can teach us. That's what the psalmist said. He said, come, you children, and I will teach you the fear of God. You can teach people to fear God. You don't. God is love you. He's kind, though. But please don't misbehave. Understand, though. Don't misbehave. I'm preparing a message. I'll not be able to finish it. Moses' grandson became an idolater. It's in the Bible. His grandson. What happened? We do in that Bible. What happened to Moses? What happened to his children? What happened? It's the book of Numbers chapter 18. No, not Numbers. Judges 18, the last verse. Moses' grandson. Can you imagine that? It's in the Bible. Say, come, children, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. David told Solomon, said, know the God of your father. You better know him. Don't take him for granted. God is love. God is nice. God loves us so much. He cares for us so much. But only let's take him for granted. It cost Jesus Christ a serious price to pay. These are the things I think about. Not because I'm afraid of God, no. Now, pastor will say, can I take him, put his teaching ministry above his prophetic ministry? And like that, at the age of this, I say, sure. Mwa funi mwa, don't you call it, sure. If you want to be friends with God, know his character as he is. He's the God of merciful, long-suffering, blah, 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 blah. Will by no means clear the guilty. He's a consuming fire. So I said that these stones are presently being cut without hand to become his precious stones. And I put here, it's like the precious stones on the breastplate of the high priest. What are we saying by that? In the book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 14, it says that they that served, they spoke of one to another. He says that and God will make them his jewels. What are jewels? They are gemstones like the ones in the heart of the high priest. They are the ones that God carries around. Who is the high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. All want to be Messiah. Jesus Christ. You know those stones? There are 12 of them. Yes. Carry them around. Just like John. They are the ones that put their heart on the master's heart. I can hear his heartbeat. But they must be cut. No, they didn't just carry those stones and put them on the breast of the happy. No, they had to cut them. Make them shining. Jewels. Malachi chapter 3 verse 14. Malachi 3 14 please. Ah, okay. Say, so you have said. Not necessarily us. You have said. It is vain to serve God. You know, we're talking about serving God. Read about Malachi there. And what prophecy is it? They have kept his ordinance. And we have walked manfully before the Lord of hosts. We have been praying all this year. Last year we fasted. Yeah, we fasted. What was the prophet? Next verse. And now you call the proud happy. So you now compare yourself with the person that is not doing it and seems to be getting the result. And they that work wickedness are set up. That you are in the same office, they promote that they don't promote you because you refuse to take bribe. And they that tempt God had even delivered. Next verse. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of them that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. Say, fear the Lord and thought upon his name. That's what is, those are the stones that have been cut now. Next verse. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. As a man spared his own son, the servant. What is that saying? That means something is going to happen, and those wicked people are not going to be spared. That's what he's saying. See, if he says, I'm going to spare some people, and that means there are some people that are not going to be spared, that means something is going to happen, like he talks about in the book of Revelations. And so, keep them from the hour of temptation. Bible says, two thoughts shall be cut off, and the one thought that's left shall go to the fire. We are talking about a bride that will have spot, wrinkle, or any blemish, or any such thing. Verse, what is that? Next verse. See, when this occurs, because you can't see it now, that means it has not happened. Say, then shall you return. That means people have already left in their hearts. You know, you can come to church today, but your mind is already on somewhere else you're planning to go. Let me just go. They will not say, that's why when you say people, we had this COVID thing and people are staying at home, you don't know who's listening or who's not listening. You know, you can put on your phone and put it there, be doing something else. And then you mute yourself. We are going to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So what are we saying? The last point I have here is that this fear of the Lord, like Pastor said in Isaiah 33 verse 6 in NIV, is the secret to receiving the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God. Are we there? Can I put it there as we close? Isaiah 33 verse 6. It says that it will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. So in rounding up, what are we saying? Before the glory of God comes, the reverence of God and the fear of God must return to his church. It's better for us to have it. That's why I quoted Isaiah 11. He said the Spirit of God will make him a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. You know, when you are sensitive to the mood of the Holy Spirit, you just sense that, God doesn't like this thing. You want to sing a song. You say, God doesn't like this thing. Yeah, keep quiet. There are going to be times that we have services that everybody wants to keep quiet. Everybody just be silent. When the presence of God comes down, people will be weeping, people will be crying, repenting of their sins. Nobody praying for them. Papa, again in closing, in one of his experiences, he said there were times in his service in those days that the presence of God will fill the atmosphere. And when that presence comes, he said it will just come upon him. He said in that service, everybody will be healed. Everybody is not saved. Everything will be met in spite of him. That's the manifestation, like the spirit of that measure, when it begins to occur. Everybody will be healed. No, God help you that you come to church that day. Every sickness, you know, nowadays we pray for people. Some people get healed, some people don't get there. Keep on. No, the presence just comes down. The man says, he said, at times when the presence comes upon him, he can't carry it. He said, we'll run into the congregation and begin to touch everybody because the thing is going to lift. The ones he lifts, that's the end. So he said, he will just get up. He said, the thing will just come on me. Bam! When it comes like that, he will just rush into the congregation and he will begin to touch everybody. Everybody, touch me. And everything, every need met, everybody healed. Nobody lives without being blessed. That is what we are expecting. That's the glory that we are expecting. The glory of a latter house. The greater works that we are going to experience as has promised. So is it not worth practicing being reverent? Is it not worth practicing the fear of the Lord? So let's all, as we go as from today, let's all begin to receive grace. To serve God. With what? Reverence. And godly fear. Because our God is a consuming fire. But he doesn't want to consume us. What he's saying is this. That glory that is coming is supposed to be a blessing. Like I read about the life of Peter, Lord Jesus Christ, virtue went out of him. But if you are not prepared, or you still have attitudes that are not in line with the will of God, after he may fall on the other side like an answer. But that will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Bow to talk to God and let's ask God for forgiveness. Let's ask God to forgive us. He's merciful and gracious. Forgiving iniquity and sin. We may not be able to get everything right in one day, but let's start practicing it. Let's start practicing it. Don't let loiter around when the soul service is going on. Don't let do things that we cannot do in the secular world. Let's start before the glory comes. And I believe that when you start doing these things, as you are referencing, we will begin to experience more of the presence of God in our individual lives also. There are times I wake up in the morning, I just wake up, I'm going to go and brush my mouth, go and pray, and God start talking to me. And I'm saying, God, Misha. When we cultivate this attitude of reverence, honor, respect for the King of Kings, of Lord, you begin to experience more of his presence. He says something. He said that I am the God that dwells with the lowly, and him that's of a contrite spirit, of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's the person I will dwell with. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Just a second. I forgot to talk about the how. I mentioned it in passing, but how is it how? Like Pastor taught, it's very simple. Daily choose the fear of the Lord. Let's say together. Daily choose the fear of the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, it says that, you know, because they choose not the fear of the Lord. The scripture that I quoted is in the book of Psalms. Psalms 34, I believe it is. Where it says that, little children, I will teach you the fear. I want to see that scripture before we close. Let me find that scripture. In Psalm 34 or so. Let's just see that scripture. We must teach ourselves, teach our children to fear God. Psalm 34 verse 11. Are we there? Psalm 34 verse 11. Say, come. Let's go. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will what? Teach you the fear of the Lord. So we can teach people to fear God. Then we can also choose the fear of God daily. So like Pastor said, those two things are very important. That's why the first thing you choose every day. You choose the fear of God, honesty and humility, and then to keep his commandments, which you see Solomon say. He says that, let us hear the conclusion of your own matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, which is love. Praise the Lord.
Within the veil, we now do come. We now do come into your holy place. Into your holy place to look upon your face.
as we draw near to you. Know that we are here to do your will. Lord, how we long to be rising unto your throne. May our songs be like fragrance unto you, unto you, Lord. May our lives be a
down our hearts. Say, Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to daily receive your grace and also to serve you with reverence and godly fear. I come this day to choose the fear of God daily by humbling myself and submitting my will to the will of God, even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of His judgment and chastening if I disobey, and the security of His mercy when I obey in. So having more of the humility of the mind of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. May the Lord have mercy on us.